with him.
Amen.
Me too. Amen. Well, this evening we come to a critical or crucial message. I'm not burdened that it just be a message. I really hope this would be something very practical. Practical fellowship for our experience. Of course, you know, the title of this whole weekend, the subject, is the Spirit of Reality guiding us into all the reality. And I think it was Shepherd. You're not Jose. Since when is Shepherd a Jose? Anyway, he was pointing out, you know, that this is based on what the Lord Jesus said in John 14 and 15 and 16. He mentioned three times this matter of the Spirit of Reality. And in John chapter 14, that is just crucial what he says there. Because at the beginning he says, I am the way, the reality, the truth, the reality, and the life. I am. So we want to be clear, the Spirit of Reality is Him. It's Him. Are you clear? And the reason we can be so clear is because the Lord, before He went to the cross, I just kind of have to repeat it. Before He went to the cross, He was with the disciples. And brothers, why don't you guys just come on up here? Just come on up here and stand behind me. And I'm the Lord. Not really, but here. And He's with all the disciples. And I think I did this last semester, but I'm going to do it again, didn't I? Okay, here's the Lord. He's with them. And he says to them, you know, He let them know, I'm going to go and I'm going to come again. And you know, of course, Thomas said, where are you going to go? We don't know the way. And that's when the Lord said, I'm the way. I'm the reality and the life. And then later on, He says, hey, disciples, I'm going to ask the Father. I will ask the Father, and He'll give you another comforter that He may be with you forever. No, that's not what you would say. He said, sweet. Did you hear that? Actually, hey, you guys, you've been with me for 3.5 years. Do you want me to send somebody else? Another comforter that He may be with you? Who do you want? You want me or the other? You want me. Yeah, hello? Okay. So, I mean, isn't that what you would think? That the disciples would feel, yeah, no, we don't want another comforter. We want you. But the Lord is really precious here. He's letting them know ahead of time, I'm leaving. But He says this, I'll give you another comforter that He may be with you forever. Even, brothers, the Spirit of Reality. The Spirit of Reality. And Hanley, you're supposed to say, what is that?
What is that?
I mean, you know, that's probably the common response, you know, the thought. And then the Spirit of Reality, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't behold Him. Brothers, does the world behold the Spirit of Reality? No, but then he helps. Because it does not behold Him. Does the world behold Him? He's really talking about Himself. Then He says, but you know Him. You know Him. Do you know Him?
Yeah.
Yes, come on. Yes. Yeah. You've been with me. Okay, you know Him. And then He says, because He abides with you. And it's like, whoa, who's abiding with you? I'm abiding with you. And shall be in you. Okay, then here's the kicker. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you.
Amen.
I am coming. I thought He said you're supposed to say, I thought you said the Comforter's coming.
I thought you said the Comforter's coming.
You're supposed to say, I thought you're sending another Comforter, the Spirit of Reality. Come on, Andrew.
I thought you were sending another Comforter, the Spirit of Reality.
I am. I am coming to you.
Amen.
What does that tell you?
The Spirit of Reality.
Good answer. Okay, good. He was the Spirit of reality. He is the Spirit of reality. And so we have to be clear. The Lord Jesus, He was getting ready to go through the cross. And when He went to the cross, He died. He shed His blood for our sins. He accomplished redemption. He died. He resurrected. He ascended. And He became, in resurrection, the life-giving Spirit. Amen. So that He could be with His believers forever. Amen. Let's all say that. Forever. This is Him as a Spirit of reality. And then in John chapter 15, again He mentions this matter of a Comforter, Spirit of reality. And then John 16 is where we have the phrase, the Spirit of reality will guide you into all the reality. That's worth an amen.
Amen.
Let's all say it. He will guide you.
He will guide you.
The Spirit of reality will guide you.
Into all the reality.
And I think we got some help, some really good help from Dennis when he talked about Central Park.
Right.
Wasn't that helpful?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Central Park. I never saw any of the things he talked about.
Right.
I thought, I know Central Park. I know all about it. No, you don't.
No.
I don't know anything. Right. I don't know what I saw. I just saw trees, I guess, and some pavement, you know. But that's a great picture of Christ. There is the Christ is like the good land. He's spacious. He's inexhaustible. The dimensions of Christ, we can't get to the end of all the riches of Christ. So we need a guide. We need the Spirit of reality. And listen, that's what He wants to do. He wants to guide us into all the reality. And so this is the topic for this weekend. So when we come to this message, let's read the title together, could we? Entering into the reality of the subjective
experience of Christ.
Again, entering into the reality of the subjective experience of Christ. Now we come to the matter of a subjective experience of Christ. Even Bill was asking me, what is the subjective experience of Christ? Of course, he knows, but he wanted me, does everybody know what the difference is between objective experience and subjective experience? Well, let me give you an example. Where's Hiram? Come on up here, brother. Hiram and here, Travis, come on up. Brothers, just stand right up here in front, facing everybody. Okay. This is just an example. This is not related to Christ, but it's related to objective and subjective. Okay, this guy, Travis, he knows all about basketball. Okay, he eats it, he drinks it, but he's never played basketball. He knows all about free throws. He knows about three-point shots, three-point plays. He knows about blocking shots. You know, he knows about dribbling. And then this guy over here, he's played a little bit. You play a little bit? Yeah. I know he plays a little bit. He plays too much. But anyway, too serious. But listen, he knows all about free throws. He knows about three-point shots. He knows about dunking. He knows about blocking shots. You know, he knows how to dribble. He knows how to pass. He knows what assists are. You know what I mean? So he knows all about it. Why? Because why, brother?
Because I do
experience.
It.
You do it. What does that mean? Experience. He's got the objective objective knowledge, but when you put him out on the basketball court, he may think because he's been watching videos, he studied it. You think he can hit a free throw? No. Travis, you think you could hit a three-point play 2 out of 5 times? No way. Could he dribble? No. He'd probably fall down. You know. Right? But you put him out there, you put Hiram out there, what's going to happen? Swish, swish, dribble, pass, dunk, block, right? Now, which one would you rather be if you care about basketball? Hiram. Okay, bye-bye, Travis. Bye, Hiram. See, there's a difference. One is an objective knowledge. An objective knowledge of Christ. And I have to tell you, I learned a lot about Christ growing up. I learned a lot. I was among these brethren teachers. They studied the Bible and all the types and so forth. And I sat there as a kid listening to everything, just trying to stay asleep. Trying to stay awake so I wouldn't get in trouble with my parents. All my life. No subjective experience of Christ, just a lot of knowledge. Well, this is what our burden is this weekend. We're burdened that we as believers who may have a little bit of knowledge of Christ or have a lot of knowledge of Christ would have that knowledge converted, transferred into experience, subjective experiences, real experiences of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you have that knowledge, it's just like this, this picture. You know, you have a mind in your soul. You have emotion. And you have a will. According to the Bible, these are three aspects of the soul. And then you may have a lot in your mind. You may have a lot in your mind. But you may not spend much time here in the Holy of Holies, in your spirit, in the inner man. Because this is where is the spirit of reality? Oh, you guys, look at this. This is where he came when we were born again. Here is the spirit of reality. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's dwelling in our spirit. Amen. This is where he's living. But when it comes to the knowledge in the Bible and all the things we know about Christ, most of that takes place in our mind. And it may be some good knowledge, high knowledge, wonderful knowledge. But what will change a person? What will really change your mind and your emotion and your will? What will change your inner being? What will change your heart? You need something. I need something added to my being. I need my being transformed. I need something added. I need God. As Fallon was saying, God. We need God added to our being. This is really right. Otherwise, we're just like everybody else. That's living in their soul. It may be they may have a better knowledge, higher knowledge, but still, what about the transformation of their soul? Transformation of our soul brings in a confirmation to the image of Christ. So he wants to move in. Move in. I really like this song we were singing. Breakthrough. Breakthrough our mind, emotion, will, and heart. Don't you agree he needs to break through? Yeah. I need the Spirit in my mind. I need the Spirit of reality in my thinking. I need him in my emotions. I need him in my will. What do you think about? What do you think about most of the time? What do you love? What are you drawn to in your feelings? What do you choose in your will? This is a real test. Lord Jesus, we love you. We want you to move in. We want you to break through every part and fill us. Fill us to overflowing. Listen, that's not just a matter of filling our spirit. He fills our spirit so that he can overflow into our whole being. Okay? Now, let's look at Roman numeral 1 and read it all together. In order for Christ to be real to us, we must convert the objective teaching we have heard to our subjective experience. Okay, so again, we have our burden is that we would see that we would realize that the Spirit of reality wants to guide us into all the reality. And you see, in order for Him to be real to us, what needs to happen? We need to convert objective teaching to subjective experience. You know, for example, let's just use an example. Let's say in John 15, the Lord said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Okay, do you all agree with this? Do you know this? Do you know that you're a branch in the vine? Tell your neighbor, you're a branch in the vine. But what does a branch in the vine need to do? That's just mere knowledge. I'm looking at Ian back there. What do you need, brother? Yeah. So how do you do it? Abide in the body, in the vine, all the branches. Exactly. That's gives you the objective experience of bearing fruit. It gives you subjective experience of really being able to bear fruit because you're staying in the vine. You're abiding in the vine. So, Andrew, do you know about abiding in the vine? Yeah. So we all have to ask, how much is Andrew abiding? I'm just picking on you. No. We all have to ask ourselves, how much do we abide? That brings in the subjective experience. If a branch is in the vine, what's it getting? It's getting all the riches of the vine. That's subjective. That's real. This is a way to bear fruit, okay? Now then, I was thinking of another example, but I probably don't need to do that again. Eric, I'm doing it anyway. Eric had an example. He was all excited about some rice that's so good in our group meeting. And what was it? And I think you're bringing it this next week. Is it the same thing you had before? It's called Puerto Rican rice. Now, I've never had Puerto Rican rice, but he talked all about it. Oh, yeah, it's this and then this. And I'm just, yeah, okay. I like white rice. I like brown rice. But Puerto Rican rice, I have no idea what that is. And then, okay, you're saying it's good. He's had some subjective experience. I didn't have any. I just like, oh, yeah. I'm sure it will be good. If it's not, I can just put ranch dressing on it or something. You know what I mean? I think I did, but that's not the point. The point is, it was really good. Why is it so good? What does it have?
Seasoning.
Seasoning, okay. Garlic. There you go. You like that garlic, huh? Yeah, okay. Kills those germs, okay. But do you see what we're saying? You can have an objective knowledge of Puerto Rican rice, but you need some subjective experience to really say, wow, that is yummy. That is really delicious. And I had that experience. It was really good. So I'm looking forward to this week. We're having it again. Okay. The next Roman numeral 2 is really good. It's kind of a further development of Roman numeral 1. Let me just read it to you. Look at it. We gain the subjective experience by... Yeah, so when all of a sudden I'm talking about subjective experience, you all should be saying, well, how? How? And then what do you say? By enjoying Christ. Practically. In our daily life. And then you have some examples here as our Passover and manna and all-inclusive good land. These are just some of the awesome items of Christ that can be changed from a mere knowledge to subjective experience. Andrew, have you ever experienced the Passover lamb?
Yes.
Absolutely. You're born again because you believed in the lamb. You believe in the redeeming lamb. What about the manna? Yep. Ryan Chu, you ever experienced what is it we're talking about? Yeah.
Manna.
I say good. Manna. And there's so much about manna. Manna was This was given to the children of Israel in the wilderness to supply them, to feed them day after day for 40 years. But it came at a particular time. There's particular aspects of the manna that are very experiential. We'll get to that in a little bit. Okay, now then, knowing that, to gain the subjective experience, we need to enjoy Christ. Now then, let's go to Roman numeral 3. Altogether, the practical way to enjoy Christ as our Passover manna and all-inclusive lamb. Okay, now practical way. It's getting practical. And here's what I think is the kicker. The next one, A. You have to underline that. This is really our burden. First of all, our burden is to convert. Please pay attention. Our first burden is that we would learn to convert the objective knowledge into subjective experience of Christ. And then secondly, here we have to realize our burden is there is a way. There has to be a practical way for that to happen. And here you have it. Point A says, all the basic practices of the Christian life help us in a practical way to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Now, what is this? Basic practices of the Christian life. There's a lot of practices in the Christian life. And I'm sure this is not exhaustive, but these are some of the ones that we realize help us to enjoy the Lord. They're practical. They're a practical way to enjoy the Lord. And so here you have all these items. Morning revival, prayer, reading the Bible, pray reading, obeying the anointing, preaching the gospel, functioning in the meeting, serving. These are serving in the church. These are practical ways for us to have experiences of Christ that bring Christ into our being in a very real and experiential way. He becomes so real in all these aspects. And we'll see as we go through it. So for the beginning, what's number one say? Morning revival. Again, morning revival. So I imagine all of you know what that is, or you've heard about it. It's not morning time. Morning time doesn't indicate you got revived. I had a morning time, but did you get revived? Well, I think there's two verses here that I really love that are really precious, and it's Lamentations 3:22 and 23. We always have to remember this. And that is, it's Jehovah's loving kindness that we are not consumed. It's His loving kindness. You know why you're not consumed? It's His loving kindness. Then the verse goes on, for His compassions do not fail. Let's all say that. His compassions do not fail. And then repeat this. They are new every morning. Wow. Matt, His compassions are new every morning. Wow. Don't you need God's compassions? His loving kindness? Listen, it's new every morning. You know, the first thing we have to appreciate is it's morning. I think we've already covered, it's already been covered. What's the best time to get the manna? In the morning. It's before the sun comes up and it's gone. The heat comes and it's gone. So it's in the morning. The Lord did that with the children of Israel. They had to get up every morning for 40 years. Wow. But that was their way to get supplied. God was supplying them with something heavenly, something from the heavens. They called it, you know what manna means? He mentioned it. What does it mean? It's what is it? That's the meaning of manna. What is it? Hallelujah for what is it? It's manna, which is what is it? Anyway. Something I just want to go ahead and mention, that is in the morning, His compassions are new every morning. And you know what? We need His compassions every morning. Just think about it. The Lord designed it. He designed it. He created the earth and the way everything works so that we would have a new beginning every day. For that, you should say, thank the Lord. You have a new beginning every day. What if your whole life was one day? and you had a bad day. Your whole life's a bad day. There's no new beginning. But God, in His loving kindness, in His compassion, He wants to be new to us every morning. I love that. Don't you have bad days? Travis, have you? I don't know if Travis ever had a bad day. Have you had a bad day? What do you look forward to? He said a next day. It's the right answer. Next day. No matter how bad it is, aren't you glad there's a new day?
Amen.
Well, it's not just a new day. It's a time for revival. It's a time for the Lord to meet you and minister Himself into your being, to warm you up and cherish you, give you food. We get to forget all the things behind. Start all over. He's actually a new beginning. He doesn't just give us a new beginning every day. He gives us a new beginning every week and every month, every year. Wow. He's a God of new beginnings. Remember that. He loves to give us new beginnings. We don't live in the past, saints. We don't live in the past. We live in new beginnings. This day will be over, but I'm so thankful there's another new day coming. And that's a new day to enjoy the Lord, to experience more of Him. Now then, what's connected to this is the next point, which is big. What's the next point? Number two. Listen to prayer, which involves what? Calling on the Lord, fellowship, petition, intercession, thanksgiving, etc. Prayer. I'm so impressed with this. You know, I think when I was younger, prayer was just something mysterious. It was kind of hit or miss. And to some extent, sometimes it's still that way. But generally, it was something that I didn't look forward to years ago. I'd rather do anything else than just sit there, because I remember when I was a kid, I tried to pray and always fall asleep. So I have bad feelings about prayer. But it's a whole new realm now. I hope we would pay attention. It involves, first of all, I want to read a verse, or at least refer you to, it's not on here, it's Matthew 6:6. And in Matthew 6:6, this is when the Lord Jesus, in Matthew, was telling the disciples, or telling whoever the audience was, about how to pray. I think it was his disciples. How to pray. And then here's what he said. But when you pray, enter into your private room and shut your door. Just those two things. You need a private place. You need a place where you can get away from everything. Do you all have a place? The Lord Jesus said this. When you pray, go into a private place. You don't want a lot of traffic all around. How can you spend time with the Father, with the Lord, with worldly traffic going on? You've got to shut the door. Private place and shut the door. That means shut the door to your phone, shut the door to everything. When you do this, there's something wonderful that happens. Here's what it says. Shut your door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. I mean, it's like, what is that? Why is that in there? Just you think you just say, the Father sees in secret, you're in secret, now you just pray. Your Father sees. But He says, He'll repay. Listen, you guys, every morning is payday. I'm serious. I really feel like every morning, my times with the Lord, they are payday. When we get with the Lord, seriously, saints, when we get with the Lord, we spend time with Him, being revived by Him. Listen, it's payday. I'm not saying that because that's a good idea. This is what the Bible says. Matthew 6:6, He will repay. Let's all say that. He will repay. Again, He will.
He will.
He will repay.
He
loves to pay. You know, there's another instance where this word is mentioned. You know, when the guy left Jerusalem to go down to Jericho, you know, he got beaten up and robbed. The priest came through and the Levite came through. They didn't do anything. The Lord Jesus, as the Samaritan, he came. and poured oil and wine in him and bound up his wounds and took care of him and brought him to the inn.
Right.
And then when he got him to the inn, he's getting ready to leave, and he just encourages the innkeeper, which signifies the church life. He got him to a church life where some others can take care of him.
Right.
And he said, take care of him.
Right.
When I return, whatever you spend, I will repay. You didn't know that, huh? He said. So our spending on others, our caring for others. Listen, we're all the ones that are beat up, left by the side of the road. Do you ever get beat up? Does your job, your school ever beat you up? Your wife, your husband? That's not the right word for it, beat up. But you know what I mean. We need oil and wine in all of our situations. And listen, when we care for one another, when we care for one another, and we love one another, we minister oil and wine, guess what happens? The Lord will repay. He will repay. So our whole life in the church life, taking care of others, it's payday. When somebody takes care of Hanley over in Brown University, North Providence, whoever will spend anything on Hanley, guess what? The Lord will repay.
Amen.
He'll give you God. All of our care for others just results in, it's a payday. We just get joy. We get the Lord supplying us. Okay, I better go on. Then, okay, there's all these aspects. Well, for example, you have this matter of calling on the Lord. What does Romans 10 say? He's rich to all who call upon him. Okay, is that payday? When you call on the Lord, Bill, what happens? Rich. He's rich. He's rich. To all who what? Study the Lord. Just study. I'm satisfied with just an outward knowledge, objective knowledge. No. There's some benefit. But the real richness is in our calling on the Lord. When we call on the Lord, we get a person. And that person is indwelling us, and it causes him to move within our being. Does that make sense? You may be in the middle of all kinds of things, but if you'll just call from within in a genuine way, full of faith, Lord Jesus, oh Lord Jesus. This happens so much in our life. We have opportunities, things happen. Oh Lord Jesus, you know, I've already have a reputation of being a honker. I just can't help but honk. I got trained in LA and I got trained in Boston. And I just, it's hard not to honk at everybody for, because they're all wrong about everything they do. But the Lord is working on me, and so I'm just having to every time. I mean, the brothers in my car on the way up here, I hope they forget or forgive. But there it was, honk, just, and they didn't say anything. But I was like under my breath, oh Lord Jesus, Lord, you got to get through this. I just have a bad habit. Anyway, calling on the Lord, he's rich. And then fellowship. Oh, fellowship. I love this. You know, what is fellowship? Prayer is a conversation with the Lord. There's something flowing, going back and forth between us and the Lord. There's a song I really love. It is 784 in the hymnal, and it goes like this. I'll just read part of it. When thou wakest in the morning, ere thou treadst the untried way of the lot that lies before thee through the coming busy day, whether sunbeams promise brightness, whether dim forebodings fall, be thy dawning glad or gloomy, what? Go to Jesus, tell him all. Let's all say that. Go to Jesus. Tell him all. Isn't it good to go to the Lord and tell him all? And then this next one, I think I'm going to sing it to you just because I want to. How's it go, Eric? Come of sweet communion, let thy daily work be done. In the peace of soul outpouring, care be banished, patience won. And if earth with its enchantments seek thy spirit to enthrall, ere thou listen, ere thou answer, turn to Jesus, tell him all. Isn't that good? Turn to him, tell him all. And then the next verse talks about hour by hour, you know, things happen. But in the end, you still tell Jesus, tell him all. And then the last one says, and if weariness creeps o'er thee as the day wears to its close. You ever had that weariness creep over you as the day grows to a close? Or if sudden fierce temptation bring thee face to face with foes, in thy weakness, in thy peril, raise to heaven a truthful call. Then what? Strength and comfort. It's not on here. It didn't print it, so I didn't know. What is it?
Strength and calm for every crisis.
Strength and calm for every crisis. Come in.
Telling
Jesus all. Isn't that sweet fellowship? Fellowship is wonderful. Even look at this. As we fellowship with him, we're getting paid all the time. We're getting Christ. We're getting his virtues. We're getting all his attributes are getting into our being in all of our daily life. Fellowship. Let's all say fellowship.
Is wonderful.
There's this other song, Pray to Fellowship with Jesus.
Yeah, right.
And then the last verse, I really love that. It goes like this. You probably would know it. Pray to fellowship with Jesus, bathing in his countenance, saturated with his beauty, radiate his excellence. You like that, Bill? Amen. So, I love that. Pray to fellowship with Jesus. What happens in our fellowship? It should be times of what? Looking away to the Lord. Just bathe in his countenance and get saturated. Again, that's what I'm saying. It's payday. You spend time with the Lord, you're getting saturated with his beauty. I love those words. Just say it. Let's just say it. Saturated.
With his beauty.
And then what? Radiate.
Radiate
his countenance. Isn't that good? Okay. Then there's this matter of petition, intercession, thanksgiving. You know, I had an experience this week. A sister had a problem. And she contacted me. And it was just so sad. I was just hurt by it. I felt so bad for her. And I didn't know what to do. After I got off the phone call, I tried considering some verses I could send to her or a song to send to her. And it just seemed like I nothing would come. There was just nothing I could do except pray. So I just prayed. I just kept praying throughout for several days, just interceding on behalf of her situation. And then I told the brothers on the way over here, all of a sudden I'm driving and I got a text. And it said, thanks for the prayer. Everything's been worked out. Da 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 da. Anyway. And I was just like, hallelujah. Intercession works. It's wonderful. This is our fellowship with the Lord. Then thanksgiving. I don't have enough time to get into this. But all of our prayers should be sprinkled with thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, if you just pray, Lord, give me this. Lord, I need that. Lord, 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 this, that, and the other. Your prayer can just kind of go this way, downward. And you kind of get, you need some thanksgiving. Just throw some thanksgiving in there. It's like seasoning on rice. You know, it's just, it makes the prayer all more wonderful. You know, you're praying and just, Lord, thank you. Just thank you for something. Lord, thank you you're here. Thank you you're with me. Thank you I have your presence. Thank you, Lord, your beauty is matchless. Oh, I love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you're with me. You're ministering yourself to me. Anyway, just thank him for all kinds of things throughout your life. A thankful person is a joyful person.
Amen.
Okay. Then now we come to reading the Bible. Three. And I got to check my time. Okay, reading the Bible. Oh, this is big. You know, Falon and Juan this morning, didn't they hit this matter of the Word? We need to be in the Word of God. Otherwise, guess what? Our experience, subjective experience of Christ, comes to a standstill. We need the Word of God. And there's two things that are mentioned here. The first thing is this matter of reading the Word. Just to read the Word. Saints, it's too good. Don't, especially when you're young, this is the best time for you to be reading the Bible. Don't think I'll do it after I get out and I get married and then I'll have plenty of time. It doesn't work that way. You have less time. Now's the best time for the rest of your life to be reading the Bible. Do it now. Your mind is better than mine. I can't remember. You can tell I can't remember things like I used to. But you guys have a sharp mind. Now's the time to read. And you know, there's this story of in China about someone complained about, well, when I read the Bible, I don't think I'm getting anything. I can't even remember what I read. And there was a response to that concern, and that was, well, you know, when the women would go wash their rice in the river, they'd have it in a basket and they'd dip it in the water. When they brought it up out of the water, you couldn't tell anything different about the rice. They dipped it again. A lot of dipping in the water. And eventually, it's all clean. But you just never noticed it. Guess what? When you're reading the Bible, there's some washing going on. There's something that's happening. You try it. You try to read the Bible for 1 week every day. And then the next week, no, don't try this. But if you don't read for the next week, guess what? Your week is totally different. Like, who was it mentioned? Everybody bothers you. Your wife's irritable, the dog's irritable, the car's irritable. You know, everybody's obnoxious. You know, we're terrible when we're not in the Word. The Word washes. It has a washing effect. And often when I'd go to the campus, sometimes I'd read the Bible I always would read the Bible in the morning, but I'd get off work and then I'd go with a brother to the campus to visit ones. And I had no idea what I'm going to share. I just would go, just to go visit people. Just like Falon was talking this afternoon, just go talk to people. And I never knew what was going to come out. But guess what would happen again and again? Whatever I read in the morning would come out in the evening. It would just, all of a sudden, it would just become alive. I just would remember it. That's weird, isn't it? I read something. If you were to ask me, I don't remember anything I read. But when I got there in front of some students in the dorms, all of a sudden, ping, a verse would come. Then ping, the next part of the verse. And then how the whole story develops, you know, the thing in the Bible. And then you just minister that to the ones around you, give them a little food. It's amazing. Just reading the Bible. Then there's another point I'd like to make. And see, where is that? And that's this. It's related to the Word. Of course, the next point is pray reading the Word, the Bible. But that is, it's a verse in 1 Peter. I've read this before because I've been so impressed with it, and every time I think about it, it touches me. And this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. It says this, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower has fallen off." In verse 25, "But the word of the Lord abides forever." Boy, you just pray read that. The word of the Lord abides forever. Amen. That, you know what that tells me? Going on into eternity, for the time I have left on this life, what do I want? What do I want to give my life to? What do I want to be saturated with? I want something in my being that is eternal. What is eternal? The Word. The Word abides forever. You know, I've always used this example, I think, of someone I thought highly of when I was young. It was a basketball player, Elvin Hayes. I was talking to Ian about it. Elvin Hayes, E-E-E, you know, he was so good in Houston, University of Houston. And, you know, I think he's 12th in the NBA with points scored. I mean, he's right there with all the top NBA players. Of course, a lot of you may not even care, but anyway, I don't care either. But the fact is, he's there, number 12. But he used to be higher. Now you've got some new ones. Kobe and others are in there. But he was awesome. How come you haven't heard about him? Guess what? The grass is withering. The glory, where is it? It's all faded. The flower. The flower has faded. It's fallen away. Eventually, nobody knows who Elvin Hayes was. I mean, I think he blocked 16,000 shots. I mean, he was a great shot blocker. But he blocked Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's skyhook once in the game of the century. He blocked it. Nobody does that. So what? Who cares? The glory's faded. I mean, you think of ones. You know, Kobe, I'm sorry. The flower's fading. It'll fade. You know. What's really will last, you guys? What will last? The word of the Lord endures forever. Let's all say that. The word of the Lord endures forever. So what shall we be filled with? What shall we give our lives to? The word. That's right. The word. So we have another life practice. These others that we've been going through, these are life practices that bring us into the experience of Christ subjectively, right? Now then, pray reading, I think this is key. You know, Juan mentioned this morning, and I feel like it's really my burden. The burden is the word, the word. We need the word of God to convert all of our knowledge into something so precious. Amen. Subjective experience of Christ through the word. By prayer reading, by praying over the word. What is that? What is that? Well, you know, in Ephesians, there's a verse. There's a couple of verses. And it says, receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the word of God, by means of prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit. ... So the point here, what you see clearly in Ephesians, that the way to receive the word of God, the way to receive it is by prayer. Praying at every time, what? In spirit. So when you get into this realm, when you get into this realm of the spirit, this is where you need to be. It's in this realm, the word, it's totally different. Totally different. You know, there are people, there are unbelievers that know the Bible. There are unbelievers that have studied. They speak it, all about it in the divinity schools. But they may have never had their spirit regenerated. May have never been born again. That's because they live in the realm of the soul. And we saw from Dennis in those verses in 1 Corinthians 2 in particular, the soulish man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. We have to be in the realm of the Spirit for us to see and get revelation and understand the things of the Spirit. So we need to pray over the Word. And praying over the Word changes it. It changes it. I'd like to have a demonstration, I think. Hanley, why don't you come up? Yeah, let me see. Thank you. I was in... Well, let's just let him read this. This is a verse I enjoyed this week. And it's Galatians 2:20. Why don't you just read that to everybody?
I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
That's not bad. That was quite good. But, you know, when you just read a verse, you can kind of pick up the thought. But what we want is we want food. We want food for our soul.
Amen.
We want the Lord as the Spirit that's in the Word to get into our thinking and into our emotion and into our will. So the best thing to do is just pray over it. So how shall we do that?
Yeah.
Let's just begin a little bit.
Amen.
I am crucified.
I am crucified.
Amen. You are crucified.
Amen. You're crucified. We are crucified.
Amen. Crucified with Christ.
Oh, we're crucified with Christ.
Amen. Right. We're crucified with
Christ.
Oh,
Lord, thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We're crucified with you.
Amen. Right.
And. Yeah, and.
Right. And.
What? It's no longer I.
Amen. No longer.
That's good. No longer.
No longer.
No longer Hanley.
Amen.
No longer me.
Amen.
No longer I.
Amen.
That's worth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, thank you, Lord. It's no longer I. I'm crucified.
Amen.
Amen.
No longer I who live.
No longer I who live.
Right.
No longer we who live.
Right.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But it is Christ. Hallelujah.
Oh, but it is Christ.
Amen.
Oh, it's Christ.
Amen.
Oh, brother, it's Christ who lives.
Amen. It's Christ.
Oh, he lives in me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for living in us.
Amen.
It's Christ who lives in us.
Yes. We're crucified with you, Lord.
Amen.
It's no longer I.
Amen.
But you're living in us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Okay, that's just a start. Okay. We'll just stay here for a second. When I was enjoying this, I got to the last part. And I usually don't pay attention to this because I realize the Lord loved the church and gave himself for her. And the focus is usually the Lord giving himself up for the church. But when I got to this, saints, I was so touched as I prayed over it. Oh, the Son of God who loved me.
Amen.
When you pray over it, the Son of God who loved me. Oh, who loved me. I don't even like to talk about me, you know, but he loved me. And I just prayed over that and gave himself up. Lord, thank you. You gave yourself up for me.
Amen.
The more I touched that, the more, actually, I think a tear came. You know, it was very touching to me that he gave himself up for me. I couldn't help but just thank the Lord. Lord, who am I? I'm nobody. Why would you ever choose me? Why would you ever, you know, reach me? I thank you, Lord, you gave yourself up for me. Okay, then you can do something different. You can, okay, brother, come on up. Then why don't you just read something, just a little bit, what is your name?
Jason,
we'll just echo. Whatever he says, we'll just repeat it. Maybe y'all can repeat it too.
Amen.
Yeah, just take one phrase.
Amen.
I'll start it off this way. Here we go. I am.
I am.
I am crucified.
I am crucified.
With. Christ.
Christ.
Okay, go on.
And it is.
And it is.
It is.
It is.
It is.
It is.
No longer.
No longer.
No longer.
No longer.
It is no longer.
It is no longer.
No longer I.
No longer I. Now, Jason, keep on going. Right here. No longer I.
It's no longer I who live.
No longer I who live.
But. It is Christ.
It is Christ.
Who lives in me.
Who lives in me.
Hallelujah. And the life.
And the life.
Which I now live.
Which I now live.
In the flesh I live in faith.
I live, the flesh I live in faith.
The faith of the Son of God.
The faith of the Son of God.
Who loved me.
Who loved me.
And gave himself up.
And gave himself up.
For me.
For me.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now there's one other way we could take care of this. It's what? I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that liveth, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself up for me. Okay, good. Thank you, brothers. See, that's just a few of the ways. According to Ephesians 6, it says by all means, something like that. Yeah, it says praying at all. I'm getting it wrong. By means of all prayer. In other words, receive the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, by means of all prayer. All kinds of prayer. It may be loud prayer, quiet prayer, sweet prayer, singing prayers, sober, serious prayers, desperate prayers, all kinds of prayers to make the Word living to you. It needs to be living, okay? Thank you, Lord, for praying over the Word. You know, this is not something new. This has been experienced by so many leaders in Christianity, in Christian history, I should say, going back for centuries. Real spiritual people, men and women, they prayed over the Word. This was their power, even the great preachers. This was their power for preaching. It was the Word of God. And for us saints, this is the way the Lord gets himself worked into us, wrought into us, saturating us, giving us himself. Listen, this is awesome. We're getting gold. We're getting God in every part of our being by praying over the Word every day. Okay, then going on, since I'm really behind now, you know, I have to say it. In Jeremiah 15, your words were found, I think it was mentioned, and I did eat it, and it became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Okay? The word has to become joy and rejoicing of our heart. That's Jeremiah 15, 16. Then, I don't have time to get into this. There's another life practice is obeying the inner anointing. Listen, in 1 John it says, we have an anointing. And that anointing mainly is teaching us to abide. That's very subjective. Subjective of experience. When the Lord is moving within us, he's anointing, he's moving within us, he's painting us, what's happening? When we abide with him, my goodness, we have some really sweet experiences of the Lord. Very subjective and real as we obey the anointing. There's a sense that comes with his moving within us. Okay, then 6 is preaching the gospel, which we got into this afternoon. I don't think I'll go any further into that. I've got too much more to cover here. Then we have functioning in the meetings, a life practice. Learn to function. I think tonight, tomorrow, we'll have opportunity for us to function, to speak what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've enjoyed. That is encouraging to one another. This builds up the church, according to 1 Corinthians 14. Prophesying builds up the church. Amen. Then serving in the church. This is a whole other aspect of it's a life practice to serve. There's something in us to serve the Lord. And when we do that, we go instead of avoiding service. Do you avoid service? Someone calls, they need help. I've got to study. We all got that response. Listen, look for opportunities to serve. Look for opportunities to serve. When you're serving, the Lord is adding himself to you. He's giving you precious experiences of him, subjectively. Then we come to this next section. The dealings of the Christian life help to experience and enjoy the Lord in a deeper, more solid way. So, number one, dealing with sin. Saints, this is... absolutely a requirement every day. We need to deal with sin. Listen, don't think you don't sin. That's a lie if you don't sin. We sin every day, but we need to confess. We need to deal with our sin. It's a precious thing to tell the Lord, Lord, I confess. I repent. Lord, forgive me. It's a precious thing, because I think of the woman who was forgiven much. And the Lord said about the woman who, she was so sinful. Well, guess what? If you're really sinful and you confess, guess what? You get forgiven a lot. And then guess what? If you get forgiven a lot, what do? You love the Lord the most. Now that doesn't mean, okay, now you need to go sin, confess, so you'll love the Lord more. Don't do that. You don't have to do that. But the fact is, I would just warn you, if you're not confessing your sins daily, if you're not confessing, if the Lord's not touching you, then something's not right. We need to confess. Because then we don't get to repent that much. And if we don't repent that much, we don't appreciate His forgiveness, do we? And if you're not being forgiven, guess what? You're not loving that much. He who is forgiven much, loves much. Right? There's a verse here, Proverbs 28:13. I like it. It says, but whoever confesses and forsakes, to confess is to, when you sin, we need to confess and forsake the sin. Forsake it. If you do that, you'll obtain mercy. Then the next point is dealing with the world. If you're loving the world according to 1 John, guess what's happening? If you're loving the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Even love for the Father is not in you. Does that make sense? Have you ever, you go do something that you know is worldly? You know, we all don't know what the world is. The world is different for all of us in one sense. But you may go do something. To me, it's not worldly, but that to you, it is the world. It's something that has a hold on you. Well, when the world has such a hold on us, there's something really serious, and that is our love for the Lord goes down. We don't love the Lord that much. And actually, if we stay in the world, guess what happens? Eventually, we won't see you. Your love for the world will occupy your life, and you won't even want the Lord because you don't care about the Lord. You don't love the Lord. You haven't dealt with the world, and you haven't dealt with sin. So therefore, it's your choice. It's all of our choices. You know what I mean? We have to keep short accounts with the Lord concerning sin and concerning the world. We all know what world really gobbles us up. You know, this is just an example. You know, I grew up loving the Dallas Cowboys. And because my dad did. My dad loved it. So as a kid, okay, Dallas Cowboys. And so it was really important that Dallas, that they would win. They did. At that time, they did a lot of good things. That was way back when. They haven't done it in many years. See, I don't even know. Thank the Lord. But I'd keep up with it. And then I remember one time, I've given this story before, but someone asked me, come on in here and watch the ending of the game. It's because I got to the point where I'm just not going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it because it always disappoints. And actually, it wasn't just disappointing. I knew that if I watched it and my heart was in it, I knew the Lord would do something that caused them to lose just for me. Does that make sense? I'm serious. And one of the times was very clear. Dallas Cowboys were ahead by, I think, 17 points. And someone said, yeah, come on and watch it. It's okay. It's only 2 minutes left in the game. I thought, oh, okay, good. I get to see them win, finally. I got in there. Guess what? The other team scored 21 points or something. It was something like that. The other team scored 2 touchdowns and a field goal, whatever it was, in the last 2 minutes. That seems impossible. But it happened. And I knew it was God. Because I knew He didn't care about the Cowboys. He knew He cared about me. He wanted to save me from just loving them so much. And once again, I just like, I repent, Lord. I can't take this. You know, that when your heart is affected that way. I don't want my heart going up and down based on the world. I always think of that song, and I tell others when I hear them disappointed about games, I say, okay, listen to this song I have for you. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. You got that? My hope is built on what? Nothing less. Jesus Christ, my righteousness. So, anyway, that's just me. I really believe someday I want to check, Lord, did they lose because of me? It's because you were dealing with me and my, just, you know, my tie to this aspect of the world for me. It happened with the Texas Rangers too, and the Houston Astros. You know, as a kid, Houston Astros, I grew up in Houston. Yeah. Everybody takes care of, I mean, I listened to them lose so many games on my little transistor radio, just a little kid. Oh, they lost again, lost again. But you keep going back, they lost again. Disappointment after disappointment, years, decades. Then finally they get close. I think there was a game where they only needed one pitch in the World Series, one more strike, and they didn't get the strike, and it ended up being, the other team came back and won the World Series. You ever heard of that? Anyway, that's crazy. That's me. That's because of me. Okay, then dealing with the conscience, saints. We want nothing between us and the Lord by dealing with our conscience. By confessing, our conscience gets cleared. You know, when we confess, saints, it's like a window that's dirty. When we confess, our conscience is dirty. We don't see that much. There's not much light. But once you confess your sins, or you confess your involvement with the world, or anything between us and the Lord, when we confess, it's like the Lord just cleans the window a little bit. And then the next thing you know, you repent again for something else. And then the window gets clearer. And then the more we repent, the more we confess, the Lord just clears the window. And our whole being is bright and light and shining. We want our conscience cleared of any offense. Amen. So that our fellowship with the Lord would be maintained. And we would continue to have subjective experiences of Christ and not mere knowledge. Right? Okay, I'm going on to, there's another point, being open to the discipline. I'll just refer you to one verse. It's not on here. I think it should have been, but it's Hebrews 12, 10. And it basically says, you know, whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. Do you realize that? What father doesn't discipline his son? Does he let his son have anything he wants? He always gets his way, never, never disciplined by the father. What kind of father is that? But sometimes they discipline, but it's only for their own good, you know, to keep things orderly in the house and this and that. But in this verse, it says that the father loves us, and because he loves us, he disciplines us, but he does it for a particular reason. You know what it is? That we might partake of his holiness. Wow, His discipline of us. Saints, His discipline may come. It may not come today. We may be fighting the Lord, rebelling against the Lord, but guess what? The discipline will come. That's right. Don't think, oh, everything's going to be rosy. I got my life mapped out. Everything's going to be wonderful. No, if you're fighting the Lord will win. Right. That's right. You'll see. He loves you, and He will discipline. So don't be open to the discipline. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. He gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself. Let him discipline. And thank Him. Thank Him for it. Because what happens, if you don't thank Him and you just fight the Lord, then He'll do it again. This will happen to your car. Your job, you'll lose your job. This will happen. You think everything's wonderful, but the Lord cares about you, and He'll discipline you because He wants you to partake of His nature, His life, His holiness. That's Hebrews 12:10. Okay, then this is, There's one point, there's the last point, I'll just mention it quickly, that is, we need spiritual companions. That helps us in our subjective experience of Christ. We need to flee youthful lust, and we need to pursue righteousness, faith, love, joy, peace, with those who love the Lord out of a pure heart. With those. Now I want to focus on, for the last, I'll try to keep this just for a few minutes. And this is point C. There are some verses here. It says we need to be the doers of these things. Doers. And basically what that's saying is, you may hear things, but do you do anything? If the Lord says, abide in me, well, if he says, you're a branch in the vine, abide in me, what should we do? We should abide. And so the Lord gives this awesome little talk in Matthew 7. And it goes like this. It's Matthew 7, 24. And he says this. Not everybody who, before this, he says, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. Just because you're doing some things outwardly right, that doesn't mean you'll enter. But here he has this verse. Verse 24. Everyone, therefore, who hears these words of mine and does them. Hears these words of mine and does them. Guess what? He says, he's likened unto. Let me tell you what he's like. If you hear the word and you do the word, for example, the Lord said, he said, if you eat me, you'll live because of me. Let's all say, amen.
Amen.
In John 6, he says, Moses didn't give you the real bread. I'm the real bread that came down out of heaven to give life to the world. I'm the real bread. I'm the real manna. And then he tells us, so we all know that. Do you all know that Christ is the real manna? So what should we do? Should we just keep that in our mind? Oh, good, he's the manna. Yeah, that's pretty neat. Probably most don't know that Christ is the real manna. That's not what his point is. The point is, once you hear that, what will you do? Will you do what he says? He says, if you eat me, the real manna, you'll live because of me.
Amen.
You see what I mean? And so he says this, if you hear and you do, then you're likened to a man who builds his house upon the rock. And then when things come, when things like the rain from the heavens, the rivers from man, in a sense, it's the rain from God, the rivers from man, and then the wind. Isn't that right? Yeah, then the wind. The winds blow, and they beat upon the house. Guess what? It'll stand. And the point here is we're all building something. This building refers to our living and our work. Do you all realize you have a living and a work? Your whole life, you have a certain living. You have a work. And guess what? Is it going to stand? Is it built upon the Lord's word by our doing what he says? I mean, this is for me. I hear. What should I do? I should do, not just hear. And if I do what he says according to the word, guess what? My living, my work is a house built upon the rock.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We all want a house built upon the rock. We want our living and our work on the rock, right? And then he says, if you're a hearer and you don't do what I say, let me tell you what you're likened to. You're likened to a man who built his house upon the sand. Upon the sand. And then he says, then when the rain comes and the river comes and the wind comes, it beats upon the house. He says it will fall, and he says the fall of it will be great. What our living and our work won't last. It won't take. It won't pass through the test of the Lord's fire. The shining of the Lord will not allow this kind of work. Don't think it's okay. We need to be not just the hearers, but what? The doers. We need to not just know, have an objective knowledge of Christ and all the things of Christ. We want some subjective, a lots of subjective experience of Christ, because that will fill our being up. That will affect our living, and this will affect our work. This will pass. And I just feel I have to mention this one verse. It's in 1 Corinthians, which I'm referring to, that matches this. And that is, it's in 1 Corinthians 3, and it says this. If anyone builds upon the foundation, what are they? Gold, silver, precious stones. That's what we want.
Amen.
What kind of the foundation? What do we build upon it? Gold, silver, precious stones. But then it says, what about there's wood, grass, stubble. Then it says this, the work of each, let's all repeat after me, the work of each will become manifest. All of us saints, our work will be manifested. You're building something. Your work is going to be tested. It'll be manifested. For the day will declare it, because it is revealed by fire. Repeat after me. It will be revealed by fire.
It will be revealed by fire.
And the fire itself will prove each one's work. Of what sort it is. Wow. What sort of work do you have? Is it going to last? What sort of work? It's not enough just to have the objective knowledge, saints. I'm speaking to me. I want to always, the rest of my days, be converting objective knowledge into subjective experiences of Christ. Because my living and my work is going to be tested by fire. But then it goes on to say, if anyone's work is consumed, he'll suffer loss. We never thought that Christians would suffer loss. But it's possible for you and me, everyone in this room, it's possible for our work to suffer loss. But he says, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. In other words, it's not going to take away our eternal portion, you know, with the Lord in the New Jerusalem, with all the saints for eternity. But there will be some loss. We will suffer loss. So I kind of wrap up with that. It's not joyous and glorious. But it's a kind of a sober word, because it's important that we realize the spirit of reality wants to guide us into all reality. But are we willing? Are we satisfied with just our knowledge? Or do we want and desire and love to cooperate with the Lord to have many experiences of our spiritual or our objective knowledge be turned into something so precious as subjective experiences of Christ?
Amen.
Amen. This morning, I was enjoying verses in Deuteronomy 8:7, and there he's talking about the good land, and it's just so precious. The good land. It says the good land is. It's how does it start? No, it's a, yeah, it's a land of water brooks and of springs and of fountains flowing forth in valleys and mountains. And so, you know, when we touch the word like that, you can just read it. You know, it's a, the land, it's a good land. It's a land of water brooks and fountains and springs and fountains. And it's flowing forth in hills and mountains. Okay, valleys. Okay, that's good. Well, that's a kind of a good verse. Oh, it's about water. Oh, yeah, that's we like water. And but you have to. I just enjoyed taking that and turning it into supply. To thank the Lord for the water brooks. Water brooks. Maybe I'll just end in this. Let's all say water brooks.
Water.
Now say water.
Water.
Brooks.
Brooks.
Water brooks. Springs.
Springs
and fountains,
fountains.
Flowing forth.
Flowing forth.
Again, flowing forth.
Flowing forth.
In the valleys.
In the valleys.
And in the mountains.
In the mountains.
Listen, he loves to flow wherever you are. And right now, I think we're going to give you opportunity for you to have a few minutes for you to share. Why don't you flow forth?
Amen.
Flow forth the rivers. Flow forth whatever's in you to water all of us. Somebody, you know, you never know. Lisa's there. She may be in the valley. What should we do? Somebody needs to flow water. How about some water brooks, some springs, some fountains? Flow to one another to water one another. Amen. Let's just say thank you, Lord.